We did it.
What did we do, Brandon?
You made it back safely.
I did. I made it back safely from Pennsylvania.
People were really happy to hear you for 10 seconds last week on the pod.
I received some communication from people who wanted to know if the masses of people who listened to last week's pod would find me rude and obnoxious towards you. Because I said at the end of the call-in, when I was riding down the road, I thought I had the day off.
Yeah.
Now, I would think people would know us well enough to know that...
That you were dead serious.
I was dead serious when I said that. And why in the world did you call
me? You were angry.
I was glad you called. It actually brightened my day. It was a long drive.
77
to 81.
What were you doing up there? Why were you driving?
Summit Church has some relational capital with the folks of One Life Institute.
Okay.
And it's a gap year program
for
those that are done with high school and headed into college and just kind of, it's a gap year between when they actually start as freshmen. But they actually get credit. They get college credit for doing the gap year program.
Would you have done gap year if it was a thing when you were
Listen, now that I've been around a couple of different gap year programs, I think I would. I really like it. There's a lot that I like about it. Now, my personality is one of, I kind of just want to go ahead and get things done and move on to the next thing.
Right.
So what I feel like I'm just spinning my wheels. But when I found out that they get basically just as many college credits as a college freshman, and it transfers over. It is. It's like within a credit hour or something crazy like that.
Well, then why is it
and they
got
get to
here?
Yeah, then they get to go on trips because they don't have to do everything else they're doing at college. They get to go on trips. They get to do service projects. They're bringing in guest speakers like myself.
Yep.
And the other peoples that they bring in.
Sure, whoever they are.
So we went to two different locations in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
One in Morris, Pennsylvania.
Never been there.
Population 7 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the horse farm. Remember last year?
I remember.
There was a video that circulated on social media with me on a horse.
You wouldn't let me forget it if I did.
Yeah. And then we took that picture of me on the horse and made it into a Christmas ornament. And a lot of people don't know this story. That picture made it on. It was my Christmas ornament last year that I gave out at several Christmas parties as a gag gift. It was me on the horse. And then on the back of the ornament, it said, "Life is hard. Saddle up." Signed, Cowboy Jason.
That's nice.
I know. And so I was back at the horse.
Is that really a gag gift, though, or is that, like, very sincere?
It was kind of sincere.
Yeah.
Because life is hard, and you do need to saddle up.
Life is hard, you do need to saddle up.
And so...
And you are a cowboy.
Anyway, I can't wait till you see what I did this year up at the horse farm. And
can't wait.
What ornaments come out. It's going to be great. I'm very excited.
Are you going to have, like, an ornament, a line of ornaments? Mm-hmm. You're going to go into ornament business?
I might do that.
I like it.
And then the other class, gap year class, was at Lancaster Bible College.
Sure, I've been
LBC,
there.
LBC. So I went there. They were asking about you.
Where are they?
LBC is the location where you and I, after finishing up teaching one year, went to, also, this was on social media, went to a local Chick-fil-A in Pennsylvania, and a lady mm-hmm. was wearing a fox pelt.
Yes.
Around her neck,
yes.
And we both asked if we could put it on and wear
and
it.
And we did.
And she let us.
Yes.
Fascinating. We have the best time together, don't we?
We do.
We have not appropriately welcomed everybody to the pod, so if
welcome
you're listening today,
everybody.
Welcome to the pod. Happy Monday to you. It's a little dreary, it's a little rainy, it's a little crisp in
it
the air.
Feels
fall
good,
is
though.
Coming.
Man.
I drove by, ordered a pumpkin spice latte, poured it out because I don't even like it.
But
I just wanted to order it. Yeah. It felt like that's what I needed to do.
I would have drank it, man.
I'm also wearing high boots up around to my knees. That's what and flannel. That's what everybody does.
You
and a scarf.
Uggs? Mm-hmm. Ugg boots?
I also have some Uggs. Listen, happy fall, everybody. We think it's arrived.
It is officially fall.
Yeah, it happened 2 days ago or
yesterday. Jim Cantore was in town.
Was he?
For
Jim?
Euphoria.
Was he?
Yeah.
Jim Cantore, for you listening that don't know, Weather Channel.
Yes.
And
we're a big deal.
Close friend
he
of
came,
yours.
Close, I asked him if he wanted to come on the pod. But he had to go fight a tornado or something.
Yes, and I think that's the perfect segue.
Yes.
Since Jim Cantore of the Weather Channel could not be with us, we have invited in...
We were, like, racking our brains.
Who we get?
Like, who else could we possibly get?
This is his first time with us on the pod today,
yeah.
And I think the people are going to be excited. Ladies and gentlemen, just kind of clap, but not really, because you need to keep your hands on your steering wheel. Terry Carlton's here today, everybody. Yeah, thank you, Brandon. You're clapping. Terry's campus pastor of Summit Easley,
yes.
One of the elders and teaching pastors here at Summit Church. And I just want to say it to the side here, a good, close, personal friend of mine.
Yeah.
I really like Terry.
And this is proof that enemies can be friends, because you're a Gamecock fan, he's a diehard. Clemson fan. You guys give each other a hard time, which I don't really like. I like us to be brothers in Christ.
It makes you very anxious when we jokingly talk about college football.
I am a big fan of building one another up.
Right.
So that's just where I am.
And Ephesians 2 talks about tearing down the dividing wall of hostility.
That's right.
Amongst Jew and Gentile, and also amongst Tiger and Gamecock. And so that's what we've done, and we're fast friends, and we're together for the gospel.
Yes.
And that's the reason that we work so well together. Terry's here today. We're super excited to have him. It's his first time. Terry, say hello to the masses.
Hello, everyone.
Are you? Wow.
Terry has a cold right now, a very low voice. I kind of like it. Talking? It's a voice for radio. He's got a face for radio and a voice for radio. Yeah. We're happy to have you here, Terry. I feel like we're going to talk about, the reason why we invited you on the show here in just a moment. But before that, would you let everybody know, three interesting facts about yourself. Tell the people three things that they don't know about Terry Carlton.
Well, first of all, I love the fact that you introduced me and then kept talking for 2 minutes.
Yeah, we do that with everybody. Don't take it personal. Yeah, we just kind of keep going.
This must be how Grayson Cato feels on Sunday mornings.
It's totally how Grayson feels on Sunday morning. Every Sunday.
Sunday. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday. Well, it is an honor to be invited onto the podcast.
Fan? You a big fan?
I'm a big fan. Now, I'm not offended that I'm probably one of the last staff guys to be invited on.
I think outside of Kip and Jim, I think everybody else has been
here.
They're not coming on.
But I was thinking about this on the drive in this morning. There is a Bible verse for this. Oh. Now, it's probably misapplied.
Sure.
Misinterpreted.
So let's do it again right now.
So
so let's misapply it once again. About the first being last and the last being first.
Exactly.
What are a few things you'd like the people to know about you? Because this is a big week for Terry. Not only is he on the pod, I believe this coming week he's also going to be highlighted in Summit Weekly. And his family. That's coming up as well.
Yes.
So we're really getting it out there for Terry. He's being known amongst the people.
Which, ironically, I really pushed for him to get me that content. Then I saw it was pushed, and that made me laugh.
On purpose.
Yeah, for the
following week.
For the following week, yes.
Push for time.
Terry, what are the...
I moved a couple meetings to get you that information.
Terry, what's three things you'd like everybody to know?
Three things, wow. Well, you highlighted one. I love everyone to know that I'm a huge Clemson fan.
Sure.
It's just a good thing to know.
I need to ask you a question in front of everybody that's listening.
Mm-hmm.
Last night we had a combined class here, the gifted class, hosted at Summit Malden.
Yes.
And very well attended by people from all the congregations. But it was not lost on me that almost everybody who showed up last night from Summit Easley was wearing a Clemson shirt. Mm. Now, I need to know from the stage yesterday morning during announcements, did you ask the entire congregation of Summit Easley who pulls for Clemson, which is the whole congregation except for Michael Crippen? Shout out to Michael Crippen. He's gotten 2 shout-outs in the last 4 weeks. He's the only Gamecock fan out there. He's my good friend.
There's one more.
We have two. Oh, you got two. Did you ask everyone to wear Clemson stuff to the campus where I hang out the most?
I did not.
Okay.
I don't think he has to.
No, that's exactly. Yeah. They just do it. They know what's up.
They know.
Okay. I did not. But around Easley, when our volunteers gathered to pray before service, you usually hear people talking about Clemson. Okay. That's usually the conversation starters.
I thought that was headed towards y'all pray for Clemson to win football games. And I was like, oh, man.
Not this early in the season.
We pray for Pastor Dabo.
Amen. Oh, goodness. All right. So you love Clemson. Give us something else. Let's move on to another topic.
Oh, man. I'm a big family guy.
Yeah.
I love being around my family. Love creating new memories with my bride and my kiddos.
You have three kids.
Three kiddos. Yep.
They are pretty sweet.
Middle school.
I like them.
First grade. And just turning 2.
Awesome.
So they're kind of spaced out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Clemson, family man, and thirdly.
Love fishing, love being on the lake.
Yeah.
That's a big passion of mine.
Yeah. Terry, much like Brandon and I, loves the great outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he loves to hunt.
I love it.
He loves, like Brandon does, he loves boating and just sitting there and doing nothing casting a line into the water. Brandon, we love doing that every weekend. We go out on the boat.
Every weekend.
We hate it.
Brandon and I have big plans. You going to teach you how to hunt?
Yeah, I've never gone hunting before. And
I've
never hunted before, and it offends Terry to no end.
Yeah. Well, I've got news. I have not either. I've never gone. I mean, I had a BB gun, and I got some snakes and stuff back in the day, but That was just to protect my family. To Harry, let's take a few moments and talk about why
we're only 10 minutes in.
Yeah, but this has been a great 10 minutes. I was gone last week. I felt like I needed to catch up with you. We have something here at Summit called the Emerging Leaders Residency.
We do.
This is in its, is it its fourth year? Are we in our fourth year or
yeah,
fifth year?
We're in our fourth year.
And Terry, while all the campus pastors are involved in it on some level, Terry for us has really run point on the Emerging Leaders Residency. It's one of actually my favorite things, to be honest with you, that we do around Summit. Most of you that have been around Summit for a while know that programmatically we don't do a million things. We do a handful of things, and Lord willing, we do a handful of things well, and we do a handful of things in such a way that when people see that we're doing something, they go, oh, that might be kind of important, because I know they don't do a million things, if that makes any sense. And so, to that end, Terry...
This is your favorite thing?
It's one of my favorite
things.
What's
your least favorite thing that we do?
The pod.
Oh.
I got you. I made you laugh. This is my least favorite. You make me do it every Monday. You make me do this. Terry, talk to us a little bit about the residency, why we decided to do it, we'll just start with that. A little bit of why we decided to do something like this.
Yeah, I think Paul's admonishment to Timothy is probably the first thing that comes to mind when we think about why he's writing to a young influencer in the church who's just been given an immense task to lead, to be an influencer. And he's writing to Timothy, and I love what he does in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. He's reminding Timothy of all of the influencers in his life. So he praises his mother and his grandmother for the way that they poured into his life, influenced him, matured him in his walk. Paul himself being one of those influencers and really just laying this foundation of how he has been equipped to take upon this task that the Lord has brought before him. And then in chapter 2, he uses this phrase. He says, I want you to take all of these things that you've heard, you've learned, that's been entrusted to you, and I want you to entrust that to others who will be able to do the same, who will be able to entrust that also to others. And I think for us at Summit, it's bedded in the desire that we would equip people, equip leaders and influencers that would be able to equip others also. When I think about my own life, whether it be as a follower of Jesus, whether it be growing as a husband, growing as a father, God placed a few people in my life that helped walk that journey with me. And when I think about my desire to be around other leaders, other influencers, I think it's really birthed out of the journey of God in his sovereignty, in his kindness, placing men and women around me that help shape those things in me. And I have a strong passion to be around leaders, to help see them grow and the things that God is leading them into, and really a desire to help equip them to be able to do that for the sake of others. So I think at a ground level, it is the desire that we would equip others so that they might be equipped to do that, to do the same for others.
Yeah, I think the reason that resonates so much with people is because that's probably the vast majority of people's story as well. Right, Bran?
Mm-hmm.
Your own story of you look back, my own story of looking back in my spiritual formation and my growth. It was intentional relationships. Mm-hmm. It was people a little further down the road than me, maybe, that were willing to spend time with me, invest in me, be intentional with me. Not to discount Sunday morning gatherings, not to discount some other things that were going on, but to even the point, the biblical reference you were making there, from grandpas who loved the Lord and spent time with me, to my mom and dad, their walk with the Lord and how they invested in me, and then into the church world in which I stepped, even as a young high schooler and college age student in particular, like some intentional equipping and hanging out and development that I think for all of us on staff here at Summit, you know, as we talk about moving lateral with the church, you know, as we talk about the importance of the gospel goes in you, we really believe that it's not just about what happens in a building on Sunday morning. Well, if you believe that's true, then we feel in leadership here that we have a huge responsibility to think well about how that actually gets pushed out with intentionality. Mm-hmm. It's almost, you know, I talk about we don't do a gazillion things. There's a few things we want to do well, but the few things that we do, like, there's a strategy behind it, but there's a theological conviction that the strategy hangs off of, that the methodology and the philosophical stuff that we do hangs off of. Mm-hmm. And for us here at Summit, the church is on the move. The church is out and about. It is lateral. And if that's the case, then our development of folks, intentional discipleship and investment in people leadership-wise is really critical, even to the point of multiple churches, yeah, multiple congregations around the upstate of South Carolina. Like, that only happens if we are being intentional about, well, word we use around here a good bit, as a pipeline, a leadership development equipping pipeline. And there's a couple of different things that we do, but this residency is one of them. Can you share kind of how it's set up, like how we do it? Because not everybody is a part of this. And at the same time, probably close to, 40 maybe or more people have now. I mean, with this year's crew, we're going to have about 40 that have gone through it, if not more. Can you share a little bit about how we do it, what it looks like, how we invite people.
Yeah, and maybe
in.
What, from like the beginning to the end, what are the characteristics or attributes that we're hoping to grow in these leaders?
That's great.
By the end of the residency.
Sure, yeah. So at the end of this year's term, it'll be 40, right at 40 leaders that have walked through what we now refer to as the Emerging Leaders Residency. And to your point, you know, the fact that the church is to be reproducing itself. I mean, Ephesians 4 gives a really clear picture of this.
That's right.
That the body is really building itself up, mm-hmm. Is speaking the truth in love to one another. And as the whole body matures and grows, then it fulfills its intended destiny, that people would be equipped to do the work of the ministry. And so that really does translate into what we do. And so it's really a 9-month journey, mm-hmm. That we invite leaders into. They spend 9 months with really our team. So currently we have 7 leaders walking, and there's really 3 different environments that they're invited into. We meet every Tuesday morning from 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. Another environment is those 7 are broken up into smaller groups that'll have at least 2 or 3 pastors and elders that are connected with, and they're connecting throughout the month, each month of the 9-month term. And they're just building camaraderie, building relationships, building community. We also have another environment on a Monday evening where we bring in some partner leaders to teach and equip these guys, things that they've learned as leaders, but also that correlates to the content that we're walking through with the leaders. And really the scope of it is we're talking about the nature and purpose of the church. We're talking about an understanding of the gospel. How do I understand the gospel? Do I understand how to apply the gospel to my life? And as I'm walking in that as an individual, if these guys are, you know, if these leaders are married, and how do I apply the gospel to my family? And also, how do I apply the gospel to others? We talk a little bit about spirit giftedness, and that's, I know that correlates to the class that we're doing right now on Sunday evenings. So how are these guys gifted? They also will walk through a little bit of biblical exegesis and helping them understand how to understand the scriptures. How do I exegete the scriptures? And then how do I communicate that? Not so much for maybe a Sunday morning, but how do I step back into a life group and carry on a conversation based on John 15? That's one of the passages that we just came out of teaching as a church. So it really is a holistic 9-month journey of these leaders walking in step with us as elders and pastors and equipping them in spiritual formation, giftedness, and gospel fluency, all the way to understanding the scriptures and how to communicate it.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a real win for us, because like he said, if you're taking a handful, whether it be 7, let's just say 7 to 10, and it's a smaller group on purpose, the people that are invited into it are invited into it by the campus pastor at each church, of each congregation. So we've kind of looked around and said, hey, here's a person maybe that we would like to spend a little more time with, invest in a little bit more. There's an application process that goes into that. So those that we invite into the process, man, they fill out some stuff and write some stuff. Like, there's work involved, and we love that. And then we begin the journey with them. The win is constantly putting back into the body people that you, as pastors and elders, have been able to spend a little bit more time developing. You can't necessarily do that with everybody. We're limited relationally. Like, we shepherd a lot of people. We're in small group of life groups ourselves. So, I mean, all of that's going on. But to just be able to grab a handful of folks and continue to invest in them, and then they go back into the body life that is Summit Church, is a huge win for us on multiple levels.
Yeah. Quickly, we got like a minute. So what is a way that the people of Summit can be praying for this residency throughout the next 9 months?
Well, I'm thankful, one, that they're listening and they know about it.
Yeah.
Because I think this is probably a little...
This is the reason we do the pod.
This is the reason.
Getting information to the people.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead there. Yeah, I think thankful that they know. The really cool thing is the last couple of years, leaders have been represented amongst all of our congregations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think one of the things our congregations have talked about doing, so I'm gonna say this, and if we haven't done it, I guess we may do it now, is highlighting on a Sunday who's in residency so they can be praying for those leaders. And I think that's a way to maybe identify who that leader is, to be praying for them as they walk through this journey. And I would also say, if someone's listening and has the desire, we do ask folks to, you know, it is the campus pastors and elders who are inviting folks in, but we've had people who've expressed desire to go through this. It's not a bad thing to have a desire to walk through it. Let your campus pastor know, let one of the elders know. We would love to broach that conversation with you.
Awesome.
Terry, you did a great job today. We hope you'll come back and see us sometime when we invite you back. We don't know when that'll be, but there's a good chance you'll come back because we feel like you did a really great job. We want to remind everybody today that it is fall.
It is fall.
Put on your scarf, put on your boots, head to Starbucks, get the pumpkin spice latte, pour it out.
Are you ready for this?
Or drink it.
We're going to do a contest.
Right now?
Yes. Over the next month.
Okay.
Carve a pumpkin and carve me and Jason into the pumpkin.
Yeah.
The best carved pumpkin... Okay. Is going to win a very special prize.
It's probably a bag of candy corns. No.
It's an exclusive Summit Drive Time t-shirt.
Well, now I'm very excited, right? And I might get in on the whole competition myself. I feel like carving your face into a pumpkin.
It's going to be hard.
But the hair is a little more difficult than carving my face into a pumpkin with my two front teeth. I think it's a little easier. I feel like I have more jack-o'-lantern teeth than you do.
So good luck. You have until October 20th.
You're not talking to me. You're talking to the people.
I'm talking to the people. You have until October 20th, podcast@summitupstate.org. Email those pictures in. And
buckle up, everybody. Even though the light turns green, just look both ways before
just
you pull out.
You can never be too sure.
That's exactly right. See you, everybody. Bye.